what's the toughest part about being a journeyman in a new city?
Well, Gordo, you know this as well as I do. Being a journeyman in a new city or a city that you're staying in is always difficult. The uncertainty of the future. Are you going to stay? Are you going to go somewhere else? Back in 2020 with Nashville SC, when we had a brand new team, everyone coming to a new city, there was only one person that we trusted to get our real estate needs done. And that's Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group. She made everything perfect, flawless, seamless. We had absolutely no issues getting into our house here in Nashville. And all my teammates felt the same way. You can check Erin out at majorleague-realestate.com.
Major League Journeyman, we are back in action. We have two old guys, and with us now, officially, a third old guy. Dax, I don't think that you can defend it anymore. You're kind of old. You're 37 years old. You hit officially 500 appearances. You are not a young man anymore, and that's not a bad thing. I have a little silver in my beard, and I wear it as a badge of honor because each one of those things is experience and wisdom right here. And now with you, with 500 appearances in your back pocket, I don't think anybody can discredit the amount of experience that you have in this league. It's an incredible accomplishment. I could only have dreamed of doing that. And I actually can't believe that your legs are still attached. So congratulations.
Can I get some clarity? What is the cutoff? Is it from 36 to 37 you're now experienced, or is it 500 appearances? Let's choose one of them.
You know, it's interesting. They both came in the same week, didn't they? So they sure I think did. That might be the cutoff line when you turn 37 to 500 appearances.
Nice.
What are we doing? How's the mental state? Are we fragile or are we stronger?
Boys, we are as fragile as ever. No, we're good, man. We're good, dude. It was funny. I'll tell you a quick anecdote. We're in Chicago, and you know, MLS, for some reason, they seem to always celebrate only regular season appearances, right? So like these little accolades I've gotten in Nashville when it was like my 400th appearance and then my 450th appearance. And then I was like, you know, they would tweet out things and people would tell me, oh, you just moved over Jeff Lorenowitz. You just moved over Drew Moore, like these MLS legends. I'd be like, that's really cool. Right. Like, awesome.
Wait, sure.
It would only be like regular season appearances. Right. And so we would have this discussion in the locker room all the time. Like, why doesn't MLS include like all appearances? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, yes, there's a category for regular season. Fine. But like playoff appearances, maybe CCC, CONCACAF Champions Cup appearances, whatever. I think Open Cup, you know, they'll leave that on their own. We know the little rivalry between MLS and the US Open Cup right now. They don't really want to include the Open Cup in anything. But to me, it's like, okay, now we're in Chicago, and I knew, you know, I was just thinking about regular season. You know, I'm like 20 or 25 appearances away from 500, but then I'm about to sub in and it's actually a tight game. Like the last few, so I haven't played in 3 weeks. The last couple games I've subbed into, we've actually like had a pretty big lead. And so like, you know how it is, the pressure's kind of off. You want to enjoy it. So this one, it's nil nil. It's kind of a tight, cagey, you know, crappy game in Chicago. It's Soldier Field, windy. Like there's not a lot in it. You know, we had some really good chances and obviously Chris Brady stood on his head against us. But what I'll say is going into that game, I'm like hyper-focused. I'm like, all right, I haven't played in a few weeks. We need a result here. Like, let's go do a good job. Like, go in there, focus, do a good job. So our assistant coach is going through the set pieces and I'm just like hyper focused on the set pieces. And he's doubling back for me. I'm like, wait, where am I supposed to be on wide set pieces? Blah, blah, blah. I've got them all locked into the brain. And the gaffer, Gonzalo Pineda, he comes up to me right before I'm about to sub in. He's like, hey, congratulations. This is your 500th appearance. Go enjoy it. Go have fun. Go bring us a good result. And I'm like, whoa, head is spinning right now. Like, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? Because I didn't know. It was kind of just out of left field. And so I'm about to go in and I'm super focused on my job and set pieces. And I'm like, wow, like, okay, now he just told me that. It only raises and adds to the heightened sense of, you know, pressure. And I'm like, all right, we get through it. Obviously, you know, we tied the game, but that was just a funny little thought that entered my mind. Like, man, what a time to drop that line on me. Focusing.
That's cool that he knew, though.
It was cool that he knew. And so, Look, it was cool, man. Like overall, I've said this a bunch of times when people have asked me about it. It's like, I think you can celebrate, you know, all the team accolades that you guys get, right? Like you guys have some MLS cups, right? Supporter shields, open cups. Like that's all great, right? That's awesome. And I don't have an MLS cup yet, but the individual like accolades and honors, I feel like, you know, that's more of like a, you know, you keep that to yourself, right? It's more personal. And the appearances thing for me, I've always appreciated these guys that have come before me that just have this incredible longevity, right? And the ability to like knock on wood, stay healthy, which I think is a skill, and a little bit of luck, but also like the ability to just, if you move teams or you're on the same team, the ability to like year after year, get yourself back up for another preseason, get yourself up for a new coach, a new tactical setup to come in. And like, you have to earn that. Like, I don't care who you are, right? Like, I think probably only a handful of players in MLS history, the Nagbys, the Donovans, you know, the guys that have been these perennial champions and winners can really say, I'm going to walk into any team I go into. Like, I've always had confidence in myself, but I've never thought of myself as being able to just step on the field and I'm walking into any team I go to. Do you know what I mean? So I appreciate that longevity and the fact that like, look, when I have gone to new teams, I've tried to earn my way onto the field and I've tried to help teams in different ways. And the fact that a couple coaches now have trusted me to go out there and put me out there game after game has been, it's been cool. And you look, you guys see that in the numbers. And I think value that and appreciate that more as I've gotten older.
Hey Dax, how many have played more games than you in the regular season at this point in time? Is it just one?
Same two guys. And I'll probably be chasing them.
Yeah, Salt Lake royalty.
That's it. Salt Lake royalty. A friend of the pod, Kyle Beckerman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys all did it in different ways. Nick Raimondo drank beer and he was
super- and Nick Raimondo. Yeah.
He drank beer, was super durable. And you just did it a different way, pal. You know, you studied the game.
I did. Out of trouble. I don't drink nearly as much beer as Nick, but I also am not nearly as agile as he is. Cat-like.
He was a cat, man. He was a cat. He probably still is a cat. Will he throw the gloves on at TST and the Sneaky Fox?
I hope so. I mean, he pulled his calf in the first step of warm-ups last year.
Right. But he was planning on playing, wasn't he?
And you know what? He was literally salivating the entire tournament because he's like, dude, this is like the tournament for me where he could use his feet, dribble up. Like he would be another weapon on the field, you know? And so
this is the tournament for me. They finally found my position on the field.
This is it. I don't have to run much and I can get the ball. And
Nick Raimondo is the perfect TST goalkeeper, by the way.
I know.
Dude, I wonder if he's going to be able to sneak away because he just took the position with the Monarchs now. He's the lead goalkeeper trainer for the Monarchs. It's a big step up in coaching for him. I chatted with him a couple of weeks ago. He was pumped about it. But, I mean, man, what a sought-after name he's been for a while for Real Salt Lake to keep him in their organization. That's a big get.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool when clubs take care of their legends, right? And it doesn't happen all the time, man, which is probably the saddest part being a retired soccer player in the MLS is when your buddies or you leave and you've made a name for yourself and it doesn't feel like they're willing to keep you and value you and keep you a part of something that they've built because what a huge asset. And so they've actually nailed that piece for a couple of guys. And like I said, man, it is not the common practice.
I don't disagree with you, Gordo, but I do think that's changing a little bit. And I only say that because there have been like these new roles that have been introduced.
Ambassador positions.
Into a club hierarchy set up. Yeah. They're starting to introduce this club ambassador role, which, you know, to me is like a no brainer. Like FC Dallas has Kenny Cooper. Like what a perfect guy to have in a club ambassador role. Seattle has Brad Evans. Like it doesn't get any better than that. So while yes, your point stands, I do think clubs, you know, have you guys gotten the emails from the Fire? I forgot his name. Who's doing it? He's an old, He's an old Fire legend. He played for the Fire for a while. He's in a role where he's trying to reconnect with all the former players, bring them in for games, take care of them. You know what I mean? So look, it's in my email somewhere, but anyways, I appreciate clubs, you know, reaching out to, like you said, Gordo, like some guys that have represented their club and people that have worn the jersey for these teams. It seems to me that there's a bigger emphasis.
Evan Whitfield. Is that who you're talking about?
Yep. Evan Whitfield. It seems like there's a bigger emphasis on clubs taking care of players who have worn the crest and helped them in the past. And so I agree with you. I think it still can be better, but yeah.
Gordo, you had a club just take care of you and fly you out for the Cali Classico to Los Angeles. Which club would you identify with? The Los Angeles Galacticos or the San Jose Earthquakes?
You know, I've been asked that question a lot, Gargs, and it's really.
Have you been asked as you or as Sasha Kletchen?
it's an easy one for me, man. I've always said this. Listen, the supporters group for San Jose, we had one really, really, really special year. 1 year out of my 15-year career, and the fans were always fantastic. And I didn't feel really treated that well on the way out by the front office, you know, and how some of those things happened. So I'm obviously not going to give them my loyalty. I will give the fans my loyalty because they always supported us and the fans are a massive piece of it. And I felt connected to them through our special run, you know, but I spent 10 and a half years as a Galaxy player. I won 2 cups. I'm from Southern California. There's really no choice. And to go back to your question, the Galaxy has always been, I think, they've set the kind of the benchmark as far as treating their alumni well. I think that they've always done a better job than most. So they had us back, man. And for me, being in Colorado, where no one ever recognizes me because nobody cares.
Because you have a Tom Selleck slug on your lips.
I could have a Galaxy, I could have a Colorado Gordon jersey on and nobody would. And to go back, man, and sign a few autographs was really cool. It was more special for my kids, I think, because they're older now and they're like, oh, dad actually was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And I took my first ever, and this is not 100% certain. Maybe I have before, but my first, out of recollection, I took my first ever celebrity picture. And guess who it was? I'll tell you.
Give me a sport.
Okay, see if you can get this, Dax and Gargs. Okay, basketball. Okay, basketball player. We're talking 90s, 2000s.
Vlade Divac.
Yes.
You know how I know that? Do you know why I know that? That's a total guess, but this guy Jovalic, he's got all the Serbians.
Yes.
On his
well done, Dax.
Hey, well done.
Dude, he had Djokovic at a game.
Yeah.
I saw him yucking it up with Djokovic, and I was like, all right, but Divac, I think him and Divac have like a relationship. So that was your hint really gave it away, but I'm pretty
good call, dude. And this guy was so nice and he was so huge. And it took me right back to
huge are we talking?
No, like
like enormous.
Like, dude, NBA players are massive human beings.
Yeah, he was like palming my kids' heads, and they're like, his hand was so big. What a nice man, dude. Took us all in. He was very cool.
All right, I'm gonna be conservative when I ask you this question, Gordo, but over under 7.5 beers consumed for dad.
Dad did pretty good. I'm upset. I think under because
at the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think under, there was people talking to me like disrupting. So I would say 5 to 6. So I would say under.
Okay,
under.
So you know, it's a nice amount to feel good.
Yeah,
Gordo, we've had this conversation before, right? And I was witness to the follow up year to the Goonies year because I played with you and the Earthquakes, and I wonder, which at this point, it doesn't really even matter because you ultimately ended up going back to the Galaxy, but your star in this league, I thought really accelerated with that Goonies year, which was with the Earthquakes. And that's not to discredit what you did prior to your, you know, to your time with them, but you guys put yourselves on a map, you and Lenny, obviously, and the cast of characters that were that team, which were incredible. There was a ton of talent within that group. I wonder what would have happened had you not gone back to the Galaxy. If you, you know, because you had, dude, I mean, there are iconic moments in those Cali Clasicos where you're dunking on the back post over AJ. And granted, you did the same thing with the, you know, with the Galaxy when you were, you know, back for the second iteration of it. But it is, I have thought about that as in like, huh, I wonder which direction that would have gone had you stayed.
I seem to remember Goonies Gordo scoring some big time goals for the Earthquakes, and especially that one against the Galaxy. And there were some electric celebrations occurring.
Oh, absolutely.
Like some like highly personal, like, yes, awards celebrations, yes, occurring. Yes. All right. So,
for sure.
I think Dan makes a great point about, listen, buddy, you're obviously Galaxy, fair enough. They treated you great. But like, your star was just flying high with those Quakes teams. Dude, that has to be, Gordo, would you say that's probably the most unpredictable, crazy successful year a team in MLS has had based on preseason?
Ever. The only comparison I could think of is Leicester City when they won the Prem, right? It was just one of those seasons.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, yeah. They never happened again. And we felt it. And Gargs, kind of the same thing as when I played with Dax. Guards is they had a great season the year before I came there. Minimal, and so I've been on both sides of it. And
yeah,
you feel like absolute shit because you're supposed to like take them, dude, from here to there, and then they go from here to there, and you're like, oh, is it me?
Is it me?
All right, I'll go F myself. That's me. Good.
Oh man, that was a bit deflating and demoralizing. I was like, where are the goddamn Goonies? I came here for the Goonies.
When's the thing gonna happen?
Like, when's that like magic thing that happens when you guys just like turn it on and the Goonies go crazy?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, that was pretty fun to watch. Yeah, Dax, it'll be interesting to see what you end up doing, because not to rush you along into retirement, because I think that you're going to have to go to like 22, 23 years here. You're going to get yourself a hyperbaric chamber and you're going to continue as you should. But at some point you're going to have to retire somebody. Like I know for me, it's an easy one. I won with the Galaxy. So that's kind of what I, you know, would retire as. I didn't host a retirement ceremony or anything, but you will get an opportunity because of the amount of appearances and time spent within this league. And you're going to have to pick a club, which is going to be a tough sell for you. But your current club, Atlanta United, not in the greatest run of form. Wait. How are we doing there? What's going on?
Gordo's got something to say.
Wait. Before we leave, can I just say, why aren't we asking him the same question? You're Galaxy, I'm Galaxy.
Because he's not retired yet. I don't think so. You've already asked me this question.
Are you getting?
He could spend another 6 years with Atlanta United. We don't know. It changes the trajectory.
Gordo's getting dementia. He's already asked me this.
Yeah,
we did a whole ranking club thing. Like, what do you feel like is your club the most? You know, it's crazy.
Well, remind me off air. Okay, go back into it. What's going on with
that? I can remind you on air. You know that my connection with Red Bull was always strong. So that was my number one club.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the right answer. But you got time ahead of you. You know,
I do.
Maybe
I do.
You might win an MLS Cup with Atlanta United because you got Giacomakis, who's going to score a bucket load of goals, and that lightning might catch in the bottle. But right now, it's out of the bottle. How do you get it in the bottle?
Yeah, man, you said it. We're in a like a weird run of form right now. And if I can go back, like, you know, I think we started the season pretty well. And, you know, we've been really, really good at home. And that's been kind of our calling card. And on the road, I think even before I arrived, road results and road performances have not been up to the standard of, I think, what we've come to expect from Atlanta United, right? And so it's been a big emphasis on trying to change that. And so our last road game was before Chicago was NYCFC, and an NYCFC team that, you know, people thought was struggling. They were in a tough run of form, But you guys know as well as I do that teams not in great form in MLS, it doesn't really mean that much, right? Like a team, any team can beat any team when they step on the field, especially at home. So we go to NYCFC, we get a really good result, 1-1 draw, like on City Field. You guys know how it is. Like the games on the baseball fields are total crapshoots. And so I felt like we started the month pretty good. That's a good start. And then we had our two home games against some top teams, right? Philly and Cincy. And generally speaking, when you are at home, you're the aggressor, you're on the front foot. If you go up, and we were winning in both games, 2-0 against Philly, 1-0 against Cincy. And I think we all felt that it wasn't our greatest performance, but at the same time, we put ourselves in position to win the games, right? Mm-hmm. And at the Benz, I wasn't on the field for either of these games, but I was expecting us to go on and win both games, right? Get the second goal, get the third goal, close them out. And for whatever reason, you know, we have shot ourselves in the foot, right? And so while I think we're playing pretty well, not at our maximum level, I still think we have another level we can get to. We are our own worst enemy, right? Little things that have undone us, like in the run of play, sloppy goals conceded out of nothing. And then that's when, you know, the anxiety creeps in. And that's when these teams who are very good teams, Philly and Cincy, the last couple of years, Philly more so than Cincy, but they have proven they are elite teams in this league, and they've done
they
it.
They are resilient too.
They are like resilient.
A one goal lead in the 87th minute doesn't 100%. Mean anything.
So then we go to Chicago against another struggling team, and we actually played pretty well, and we should have won the game. Like, it was a kind of an ugly game, but Chris Brady, I already mentioned it. This kid is a stud, by the way. If you guys haven't watched many Fire games, he is like Slanina that has come before him. He is not long for this league. He will be in Europe, I think, very soon. And I don't know for sure because I'm not sure about the depth chart, but if he's not the starter on the Olympic team, he should be. And I think Schulte from Columbus is his age, so and Slonina might go too. They had the goalkeeping depth in this league is crazy right now, especially with the young guys. But anyways, Brady was fantastic. He made 2-3 world-class saves. And so, look, I look at those results, right? We have three draws and a loss, and it's, you know, that pressure starts to build, and we put more pressure on ourselves than anyone. And so, look, we've had some good meetings, we've had some good conversations, some good video sessions, and it's been difficult. It's been critical. We've been highly critical of each other, and we've made sure that, like, the next time we step on the field, these are the areas where we need to improve, right? And so, look, I think all of us are frustrated with the results in April, and I think we've had a really good day of training today. And I think that obviously we're playing one of the better teams in the league in Minnesota United coming up at the Benz. That's a perfect game to get right. You're playing another really good team who, you know, it's going to be a tough game. And we're at home. So, like, we need to reverse the results that we had and get 3 points. And you guys know as well as I do, right? We've had a bad run of 4 games. We haven't won in 4 games. The form isn't great. We need 2 wins, right? We need 2 wins and get some momentum, get some guys back healthy. And then I feel like once we do that and gain a little bit of confidence, that's when we really start to pick up steam, right? And the summer months, you guys know, are a grind. That's when you need to really pick up your points. And so, look, it's been frustrating. It's been tough. I mean, I'm sure it's been frustrating for the fans because they see how good we can be, and we haven't gotten the results we need. So, look, we accept that, and we're ready to get some wins, man.
Yeah, I mean, from a fan's perspective, I consider myself a fan of Atlanta United. The amount of talent that you guys have should not be producing these results. So, and you also, you said it, you have pressure within your building. That's also earned pressure. You know, that's it. Atlanta United has earned that pressure. And that's one of the big reasons why you decide as a free agent to go to Atlanta United, right? Because of the expectations there. It's how different does it feel right now for you going through this moment with Atlanta United than it did maybe in tougher moments with Nashville that doesn't have, you know, the same type of expectations as a club? Not that they don't both want to win, but I think the exterior pressure, the exterior, maybe light bulbs, spotlight is hotter on Atlanta United than it is in Nashville.
Yeah. I feel like the sense of urgency right now is high, and I love that. I love that. That's the way I would describe it, is that, look, in Nashville, it was, let's lean on all of our veteran experience, right? Let's lean on our veteran experience, our veteran know-how. you know, let's lean on the defensive side of the ball. Like, let's make sure we can get shutouts. And then when we get shutouts, then we can rely on Hani, some magic, right? Here, it's a sense of urgency from not just the players, but the coaching staff as well to say, look, we are better than the results that we're getting. And we know that, right? That is clear. Mm-hmm. So we have less, I think, veteran MLS American players, but in my opinion, we have some highly talented individuals that want to make things right. And they want to prove that we can get out of this. And so I think it's similar, but for me, the sense of urgency is high and it's good and it's there. And it has to be. Like, that's a fact. I mean, you guys know as well as I do, there's this mistaken kind of narrative around MLS that like, there's no pressure, right? And the games don't mean anything. Well, I can tell you right now, they mean a lot to us right now because we know we haven't won in four games and the expectations are higher than that. And there is pressure. Mm-hmm. There's internal pressure. And, I try to stay off social media as much as possible. I'll have fun on there every now and then. But like, I think social media tends to, especially fans, they tend to get really high when the team looks good and wins and super low when results don't go your way. Right. And so you got to find that balance, because if you don't, you're just going to be riding that wave and it's too much. We feel a sense of urgency, and that's coming from us inside the locker room, because we know we're better than what we've shown and the results have shown. So that's the best way I can describe it. And I'm just saying, this Minnesota game should be great. We're looking forward to it. It's a good team coming to the Benz, and we need to get 3 points.
Minnesota United also addressing another massive elephant in the room for the first time in a while, I think, in talking about Reynoso and making it clear that doesn't seem like he's a part of their plan moving forward.
How can he be?
I went back and forth on this. We touched on it with Sasha a little bit. He briefly mentioned it, and we didn't really go in depth in it. But let's take it. So from a team's perspective, you're frustrated. I think Boxall made some comments. I think he's done with them. At this point, though, how do you get yourself out of it? How do you, as a club, are you willing to just throw away the investment completely just to move on?
Well, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do if you know that a guy is MIA and you're paying him a ton of money, which I'm certain they're not paying him right now. He's AWOL.
You would have to think, right?
You would have to think that. I don't know anything for sure, but at the end of the day, he is a very valuable asset. You would think on a global market, right? He is one of, in my opinion, and I think you would agree, Dan and Gordo, he's one of the best players in the league. And he's shown that.
One of the best players in the league.
And a creative player like him who can change a game like that is incredibly valuable, not just in MLS, but I think in other leagues as well. So the question for me is, what is the tipping point? What is the point where you say, all right, well, we need to sell him at a loss, but at least recoup some of our investment? Because that's where they're at, I think.
And here's the thing. I don't have any, do you have any more insight into what is actually going on? Because the variables that we obviously don't know any of it, at least I don't know any variables. Like, why is this dude not showing up? Is it emotional? Is it like, are there things going on with his family at home that is he communicating to anybody? Like, it doesn't really seem like anybody's willing to put any information out there, which makes drawing a conclusion really challenging.
My take on Boxall commenting on it is that they know that he is, generally speaking, okay, and it's not really like a family issue, right?
If that's the case, fluffing this off.
Correct. That's at least that's my take on it, right? And not to like put anything out there into the atmosphere that's not true, but like, sure, if the captain is speaking about it, surely there is some sort of knowledge of, hey, he's safe, he's okay, he's just given us the business, and he doesn't want to come back, and that's his. Right, if he wants to, but he's doing it in the wrong way.
So, Gordo, you're nodding your head like you got insider info. You got insider info? What's going on?
Just trying to be a part of the conversation here, you know. So I can't really get a word in, so I just shake my head. All I would say is you got to depreciate an asset, right? And my spin would be like, I think you got to move him with inside the league and just be like, he doesn't want to live in Minnesota and that's why he's not coming, but he really wants to be in LA and he'll show up for your team.
you're trying to pawn his ass off onto another MLS GM that essentially, if it goes south, will never do business with you ever again.
That's a good point, Dan. That's why I'm not a GM. But I mean, listen, you got to get rid of this guy. But I mean, the only thing I was agreeing with is we don't know the variables except for what we're guessing, which is really shocking with the MLS. They give us all the information always, like New England did last year, right? But you know, it's like, I don't know, dude. You're in a tough spot. You got one of the best players in the league, and he is making you look foolish. He's making himself look foolish,
which is also for the second year in a row, because he showed up what, 3.5 months late last year.
That's,
and
that to me is unforgivable. This is a pattern now. And by the way, more power to Minnesota, because I haven't watched many of their games, but the results they're getting are incredible. Especially you go through their lineup, and yes, you see a couple MLS guys here and there that you recognize, right? Boxel, Will Trapp, St. Clair. You know, they signed Pookie, but like for me, I'm like, dude, whoever this new coach is, who's significantly younger than all of us dinosaurs, incredibly. He's 32 or something, 32, 33. He's doing incredibly well, right? He's come in and not missed a beat, and that team is really clicking on all cylinders. So that's and the way they did. We don't need this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the most advantageous position to be in, right? If they were struggling and not getting the results that they were getting, they would not be able to say, hey, we can get rid of it. So because he is an incredible talent when he is on the field.
Gordo, we live in crazy times right now. What are things looking like in the real estate market?
Oh, Dax, you know that rates are always going to be the best with Synergy One Lending, and those are always going to fluctuate. But one thing that never fluctuates, that's the service you get with Erin from Bikes Realty Group. She is the number one agent I will refer all my clients to. She handles all the obstacles up front, really takes the stress out of any transaction and move that you have. Check out my girl, Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group at majorleague-realestate.com.
Another team that I think we need to revisit before we move forward is the Columbus Crew, who is in fine form, picked up an incredible result at home against Monterey, 2-1. Now they're there. I know that I've positioned this question to you guys before. Do you see them getting the result and moving forward? Now, this is specific to Columbus and not Miami. Do they have the juice to pull it off? Gordo?
I know you're sad.
You betting on them?
Hell yeah. They definitely,
you are betting on them.
They definitely have the juice. And so, like, this is one of those matchups, dude. Like, I truly feel, and take this with a grain of salt, and it's everything, but I feel like this game is like the Champions League game that's going on right now that we're not watching because we're doing this podcast, between Bayern and Real Madrid. I think it's two heavyweights in our region. You know, it's not Champions League, but it's two heavyweights. And when's it, you know, we don't get this all the time, but we're starting to get it more. I felt the same.
I feel like we're getting it more often.
It's the same feeling I got when Seattle made their run to the championship. LAFC made a really deep run. And I felt like, I'm not scared of going into Mexico because I don't have to go there and play, obviously, but I am not scared of sending our team down there. And I think that we got a legitimate chance to win. And I feel the same way. Who knows what the result will come, but I feel supremely confident that this team is legit, dude. Like, this team plays. The last time they were down there, I mean, every single game, the last time they were down there, who'd they play? Tigres? Who'd they beat?
Tigres,
right? Yep. They were flying, and they looked incredible, dude. So I am really excited to watch these guys go battle Monterey, for sure.
Who did I pick when we went through our CCC brackets?
There he is. Hey,
Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, you guys know me. I mean, I'm Wilfred Nancy. The things that this guy is doing right now with Columbus and the way that they are just humming along is a sight to behold. And look, let's not forget, they're not in the best form in the league right now. They haven't won a game in much longer than we haven't. I think they're 5-6 without a win, but all draws, right? And so, like, even for a great team like Columbus, balancing CCC is not easy. And let's not forget, they suspended Cucho for 2 games, and they still were able to get through it. So if you suspend your best player and you're still able to go pick up results and still get wins and still advance in CONCACAF Champions Cup, look, man, you're doing something right. And this is, we haven't talked about him much, but for me, this is a Tim Bezbachenko masterclass, a guy who built a juggernaut in Toronto, who then said, look, I've done what I needed to do up here up north. I'm going to Columbus. I think he's from around there. And then I'm going to bring the crew back to glory. And he's done that with serious vengeance, right? And because this is one of the best teams in the league right now. And by the way, they have the advantage. I think they're going to advance. And I think the reason they're going to advance is because they scored their second goal. They scored the second goal and got the win at home. I think if it was a draw going down to Monterey, who I think is a better team than Tigres, by the way, going down there might be a bridge too far because you're going to have to score, I think. I think Monterey is going to score goals for sure. But the one thing we know about Columbus is that they have the ability to not just score goals, but they have the ability to absorb and soak up all the pressure that is going to be on them. If you guys remember, against Tigres, they won in a penalty shootout. How difficult is it to go down to Mexico, beat a juggernaut in Mexico in a PK shootout when you're in their stadium, yep, right? I mean, these guys, look, for lack of a better expression, these guys have balls of steel, man, and it's great. It's great to see. So I think Columbus has the advantage for sure. I think it would be foolish to discount Monterey, but if I'm going to stick with my my original prediction, Columbus is going to win the series.
Columbus is going to win the series. I like it. I can't disagree with anything you guys are saying. I will co-sign all of it. I'll be pulling for them as I pulled for the Seattle Sounders to win. I do think, though, to your point, Gordo, that we're seeing this more and more often in terms of good, high quality matchups. Obviously, the League's Cup, you get it on a more consistent basis, but that for me, that was an eye opener in seeing Major League Soccer teams play outside of the February window against good Mexican competition. When we're in maybe what I would consider to be a fair run of form and a fair display of what we can do. Now, there's still variables there because we played all of our games on American soil and not going down to Mexico. But I still think that it showcased maybe the talent disparity or lessening gap, which was good to see. And it probably gives me a similar sentiment to what you're talking about, as in going to Mexico doesn't really intimidate me as it maybe did before in terms of, can we get a result?
That's because we used to get shellacked down there. Absolutely.
You'd go down. I don't know. I also feel like soccer was different. It was like, these guys all have real tactical plans at this point. I feel like half of our tactical plan was like, how long can you withstand getting battered and do
your best? Kick it to Landon.
Right? We weren't going through X's and O's like these guys are going through X's and O's and their positional responsibilities and the angles they need to cover. And it just, the game has evolved so much.
How many of these new age terms, how many of these terms and expressions that are new age now did you guys like never hear? Like verticality,
expected goals,
inverted wingbacks, like just so much.
Just all of it.
We had all stoppers and sweepers.
It's pretty good. It is pretty good. All right, I'm going to leave you with a couple, a little game. And I picked this up from the NFL draft. So I think I've shared with you guys, I'm a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. I think the entire universe knows that at this point. But so Cooper DeJean gets drafted to the Eagles, and he gets, somebody pulls up an old tweet about three star corners in the league, and Darius Slay was one of them. And he asked him, you know, they had asked him prior to him being an Eagle, you got to start, bench, or cut. And he ultimately cut Darius Slay, and then he got drafted to the Eagles. And Slay called his ass out minute one, was like, might need to adjust this answer.
I love that.
So, yeah, it's pretty, that's really fair good. Play. So now I want to start, bench, and cut. But we are a little bit, whatever, maybe close to a third through the season, right? So I think we got a pretty good assessment of some of this attacking talent that's in the league. And I want to hear, start, bench, or cut for some of these names I'm going to throw to you. So
Get my Google.
I'll start with you, Dax.
Okay.
Start, bench, or cut? Cucho, Bawanga, Messi.
Oh, that's a mistake, bro. Why are you picking my boy, bro? Why are you picking my Jersey brother, huh? Why, like, of course I'm going to start him. That's my guy, dude.
That's your guy.
It's funny because I will go, like, just objectively off of performance. And I, of course, you guys probably saw New England. I mean, Messi just walked them like a dog, dude. Like,
New England stinks.
But still.
That's not saying much.
It's not, but God, the guy is just, he's just making a mockery of things right now. I think Sasha, friend of the pod, by the way, I think Sasha tweeted or said something on MLS wrap up about, like, he made MLS best 11 with Chivas USA as a midfielder back in like 2008. And he had 5 goals and 7 assists all year. Messi's got like 7 goals and like 10 assists in like 9 games.
There's 6 games.
It's a joke. They're PlayStation numbers. So yes, I'm going to start the greatest player of all time. I'm going to bench Kuto, okay, and I'm going to cut Bawanga. Merely because going off this year, I don't think Bawanga's been in the best run of form. He got the winner for LAFC this past weekend in a big game against Portland, but I saw something. I think he's hit the post.
Had a brace too, right?
He had a brace against Nashville. Like, he's not playing bad. I'm just saying, out of those three, like, he's in the run of form that Cucho's in right now, and how much I love this guy's game. That's it. I feel like I navigated that well.
Okay, Gordo.
The same.
Give me the same. Yeah. Are you going same lineup?
Yep, exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I think he's fantastic, dude, when he's not suspended. The thing is, dude, you're not really offending any of these guys by picking Messi first. And you can't not pick him.
I would, and the thing is like, even with how much I respect Messi as the greatest of all time, if he wasn't playing well or if he was injured, right, I'd cut him.
Right.
I don't have any trepidation of doing that.
Yeah. Well, so here's the variables to consider. Cucho has been suspended, right? So there's maybe something going on there. And Messi, you're going to get him for maybe half the season because he's going to miss another X amount of games with a hamstring, games with a calf.
Will I have him for the most important part of the season?
We're not doing that.
Who knows? You're rolling the dice,
but that's it.
Doing hypothetical injuries, dude. No.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. All right. I got one more for you.
What's yours? Don't criticize and then not come up with your own.
Gargs is going to say the same.
Okay. No, I'm not. I'm starting Cucho and I'm putting Messi on my bench and I'm cutting Bawanga.
Are you going to sub Messi out and put Cucho in ever?
Am I going to sub Messi in?
In.
Yeah, I'm going to use Messi when he's available.
If he's working hard enough in training,
if he puts in a shift Monday through Thursday, I'll consider him maybe 15, 20 minutes off the bench. He's a game changer, guys. You guys have taught me this. Like, listen, if there's somebody that can change a game, it might be Leo Messi.
You look like Pinocchio right now with how long your nose is.
Listen, play your kids. I got to give my young guy the consistent run, because I'm looking for the long-term longevity of our club.
Go to your next one, and then I've got one for
next more. One. Okay, here I want start, bench, cut. Lucho at Cincinnati. Chicho Arango, Real Salt Lake, and Ricky Puig with the Galaxy. Gordo, you can lead us here.
Well, I know who he's starting.
Well, yeah, I'm starting Ricky.
Yeah, he loves his back.
Ricky, because he is. I think the other guys are goal scorers, right? And you need goal scorers, but Ricky's got like one of those stupid stats. He's got like the most. He's got the most
goal contributions,
or like dangerous passes into that area. And he's always on the ball. And I think, you know, if I'm going to pick somebody that's, I always liked midfielders that got, wanted the ball and drove forward and caused problems. And he does that consistently. So I'm not picking him just because I'm a Galaxy fan. And then I think, who is the first guy that, I haven't seen Acosta play much this year, I'll be honest, but I know that.
League MVP last year.
I know that was last year. And Messi won Champions League 20 years ago. So I'm taking the guy from Salt Lake because I think he's on a good run of form and he's scoring some big goals for them. And so he's on my bench. And Ricky is my starter.
You're cutting Lucho Acosta.
Yeah, I'm cutting him.
Sad world we live in.
I don't even.
Yeah. Argument. Well, he's just plain wrong. So I'm.
Yeah. Jax, can you please correct this man's answers?
Go ahead.
You're starting Arango, who, if Messi didn't exist, is the league MVP right now. Let me see where Salt Lake is right now in the table. And it's early. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. Salt Lake, 18 points, first in the West.
First in the West.
Chicho Arango is reason A, B, C, D, why they are.
I'm subbing him in, dude. So what?
Okay, well, you're wrong because he should be starting. Okay.
How are you going to manage that personality? Yeah. Bringing him off the bench.
Crazy. He's been the league MVP this year. If it wasn't for Messi and the video game numbers he's putting up.
Totally.
And then Lucho Acosta is on my bench and Gordo's boy, Ricky Puig, is being cut. And it's not because I don't rate him. I think he's absolutely wonderful player. But if we're talking about two guys who, one of them was a league MVP last year and who is consistently, since he's been in MLS, putting up double-digit goals and assists every single season, he will continue to do that this year. Ricky Puig, I think, is a different player than both of them, but he does not come close to either of them with his end production. He doesn't score nearly as many goals. And yes, he creates chances for sure.
He's like the pass to the pass.
No, but he creates.
Acosta led the league in assists last year.
But I'm just telling you guys right now, Ricky Puig does some special things on the ball for sure.
I don't disagree with you.
He's a massive part of the Galaxy's turnaround and their success. But if you put him up against these other two guys who are putting up not necessarily video game numbers, but Arango has literally dragged Salt Lake to first in the West, which who would have predicted that? No one. Right. And Galaxy have been good, but Lucho is doing the same thing he's always done. And actually, if you look at Cincy, they lost some massive pieces. They lost Barrial and Vasquez, and Lucho's kind of had to pick up the slack and get to know a newer group. And they're still humming right along. They're probably top two or three in the East right now. So Ricky's cut. Ricky's cut.
Where's the Galaxy in the table? Look up your little list again. Where are they?
Are they second?
Where are they at?
Are they second?
Your little list.
Look up your little list. Are they second? Yeah. It's a tough decision. Don't get me wrong, but you're not starting that guy over the other two. Give me a break, dude.
I disagree.
I'm tweaking that just a touch. I'm still starting Lucho Acosta. There's no reason to take him off the field, and he's been excellent. Nothing short of excellent. League MVP, and now he's Cincinnati's in second place in the Eastern Conference without multiple pieces that led them to the Supporters Shield win last year.
Who has a better?
Oh, did you look up your little list to find that out, Dan?
Your little list.
Who's got a better supporting cast, Acosta or Ricky?
You could argue Ricky,
by far. Right now?
Hold on, Gordo. This will be a fun exercise.
Paintsill.
Hold on.
Heck. Like, come on, man.
Hold on, Gordo. Who started up top for Cincinnati the last two games?
Gordo wouldn't know the answer if he had the starting lineup in front of him. But the point is...
Yeah, he would have known Brandon Vasquez was killing it last year. So who are the strikers for FC Cincinnati right now?
I don't know. Braun.
Corey Baird.
Did you just come up with Justin Braun?
Corey Baird and Kubo.
Dude, Baird's a great player, dude.
I like Corey Baird. I think he's a good player. But give me Jovalich, your boy, Vlade
Divac. Corey Baird is a good player. No disrespect to Corey Baird. He is a good player,
but he's not Brandon. No disrespect. And he's not Jovalich.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they got Miazga and they got
Miles Robinson, center back.
Robinson, that's a supporting cast. Team game, guys. It's a team game.
Okay.
They got a better defense, and Ricky has helped them get from the basement to top three, which I call. So, I mean, I think he's done more to elevate his team than Acosta has. And listen, Acosta is great, but I still think that he's done more, and he is the maestro on this team, no matter what, no matter Paintsill came out hot. Okay. Good.
Support. It's really rich to argue supporting cast when the Galaxy literally just spent like $20 million on wingers.
And this is an exaggeration. This is a really flawed position, Gordo. But we're gonna let you live with it.
Take away that. That he's done. He has elevated his team. Yes or no? Just a yes or no questions. Nothing else.
Significantly.
Yes. Okay. So I have an argument. That's my argument. And he has been. Major piece to be able to do that, where the same awesome supporting cast, except for the two guys we paid $20 million for, without those guys, we were in the basement last year.
And the striker who scored a goal in like six games.
He was there. He's been there for 4 years.
Yeah, but now he's got other options.
I think, Targs, you started Lucho, and then what was your bench cut?
Arango's on the bench. He's in an absolutely insane run of form. You got to keep him around. And Puig is on the bench. And that's not because Puig isn't a great player. Puig is a great player. But we're discussing a gluttony of riches right now, which means that you can't just decide on everything else. Lucho Acosta is phenomenal and has been phenomenal. And Arango's in the best form of the league.
Correct.
Puig does a lot of things well. But I think the step that you were looking for, which I don't know the actual stat, but I think he's got like 300 more touches than the closest player in the league.
This guy's on the wall. It's incredible. But yes,
I would love to see. We used to look at those numbers all the time when we were playing, like who had the most touches. Juninho was always at the top of the list, and I think Puig is like 50 touches above anything that we did in a team that was dominant on the ball.
Gordo, let me give Gordo a quick fun bonus one real quick. All right. You ready, Gordo?
Yep.
Hello.
Start bench cut. Landon, Robbie Keane, Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Oh, jeez. That's just mean, dude. That is mean.
I know. I love it. This is your birthday present to me, is to answer this question.
Oh,
that is me.
Well, which year are we talking about? They're all retired.
The year you played with them.
The year I played.
Pick a year you played them.
I just really like to piss off Robbie Keane, so I'm going to put him on the bench because he hates to be on the bench. I'm going to start Landon. And I'm gonna cut Swiney. Oh, actually, no, I can't do that. He's a friend of the pod. I'm starting the only friend of the pod, Swiney.
You're cutting Landon?
No, I got Landon on the bench. Robbie.
Robbie's out. Okay, chances of us getting him on Major League Journey
just went out the window.
Halved.
He'll come on just to argue with me.
He will. Yeah, it's probably. They actually probably just doubled.
All right.
This is the first episode Robbie Keane's going to listen to. He's be like, Gordo, you fucked me off.
What are you doing, guards?
He never played with
those three.
So that's two.
I didn't play with Bob.
That was tough.
All right, fine. I'll give Gargs one. Start bench cut. Landon, Robbie Keane. Friend of the pod, Omar Gonzalez.
I think this is.
Don't say this is easy.
It is easy. It's Landon, Keno, Omar.
I'm saying
Landon's, I mean, that's Omar. Landon's the star. Landon is the star and deservedly so. Keno is arguably the most talented striker that the league has ever seen. And Omar is a very good center back.
This is a loaded question because I'm not going to ask about Landon or Robbie in the same context. But do you win all those MLS Cups or did the Galaxy win all those MLS Cups without Omar?
No, but they definitely, we don't win all those MLS Cups without Robbie.
All right.
Hey, who are you going? BWP.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Look at you. You're all giddy because you got
one. BWP, Sasha, or Schweini?
No, you idiot. Or Henri, Muppet. You're such a Muppet. That was such a layup. Good start. Yeah. I'll clean it up for you. BWP, Sasha, or Henri?
That's
Mr. Red Bull. Yes, I love it. Well done, Gordo.
Thank you.
Why did I do this? I set myself up for this, didn't I?
yeah.
I mean, we could be here all day with me thinking about this. I'm starting.
Well, we don't have all day. We got 17 seconds.
I'm starting Thierry. The guy was a cheat code in MLS. It's just a fact. I'm benching Sasha. I'm cutting BWP because he didn't. He hasn't come on the pod. And as a midfielder, you know, I love the goals. Brad's goals are incredible, but I appreciate the assist, man, because that's what I consider myself in a much, much, much worse category than Sasha as the assist man. So I appreciate that.
That's pretty good. I think we might be onto something here, guys. Every guest might need to go through this gauntlet, personal gauntlet.
Oh, it's hard. You see how red I am? Jesus.
It is not easy.
Hey, it is my birthday. And you know the tradition of like, if it's your birthday, you got to bring the cakes in, which is a very, if you think about it. Sure. We've lost that tradition a little bit the last couple of years. We never did it in Nashville, which was crap. We do it now in Atlanta. And I brought in some really good local donuts, Da Vinci's Donuts, very good. You guys pick one out for me. This is going straight to my ass, but pick one out.
I'm going top. No, the cookies and cream one.
Cookies and cream?
Yeah, Middle Central.
Gordo, your vote?
What's the top right?
Top right is birthday cake with some sprinkles.
Oh, I'm going all chocolate.
Chocolate glazed? I'm feeling a little crazy. I'm taking Garg's.
Got a boy. Well done. That's a starter. That's a starter for the birthday boy. All right, with that, we are out of here. Appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you find us on all your social platforms, podcasts, wherever you get it, wherever you get your fix and your fill, and come back next week.
Thanks, boy.
We're back. And we're out.